Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Well, it is officially fall, 8:14 now on this September 25th. September 25th, yeah, that's right. But it's not the time to fall. More than one in four adults fall each year. Luckily, research shows that our fall risk isn't entirely outside of our control. In honor of National Falls Prevention Awareness Month, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer at People's Health, joins us to share tips for staying steady on your feet and not tipping over. How you doing, Dr. B?
Hey, Tommy, I'm doing great. How about you?
I am well, sir. Thank you. Tell me why fall prevention is so important.
Yeah, this is really critical because it affects so many people. And what it is really is as we age, your chance of falling down is more likely. And so what happens when you get older, you can lose a little bit of bone density and some muscle mass, especially in your core muscles, and that can make it easier for you to either fall down or, if you do fall, to break a bone. And the other thing is, as we get older, our eyesight and our hearing can decrease. Our reflexes may be a little less sharp than they were when we were younger. So you might have trouble avoiding obstacles or pivoting when you're walking, and so falls can be more likely from that. And then the falls, as you get older, themselves become more dangerous. You know, like I mentioned, the bone density decreases, so if you fall, you're more likely to actually break something or have a more serious injury that may make you have difficulty staying independent.
Anything else that can kind of increase your risk of falls?
Yeah, the other thing to keep in mind is medications can actually increase your risk as well. And these medications are important to treat a lot of those chronic diseases, but a lot of them affect maybe your brain or your blood pressure or your blood sugar as intended, but they can have side effects, things like some tiredness or dizziness or even confusion. And so you have to be real careful with those medicines, and if you're having those side effects, talk to your doctor. You know, the other thing is, certain health conditions people develop as they get older can cause problems. Things like foot injuries, balance problems, that weakness I was talking about, especially in the lower extremities, can increase your risk for falls. And then something really common is called neuropathy. Neuropathy is a problem we see in a lot of diabetics, where it affects the nerves in the legs and the feet. It may make your feet feel numb, so you don't know exactly where you're placing them, and you may misstep and then fall down.
Best thing, of course, to prevent a fall. What are some ways to prevent the risk of falling? Or lower it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. Kind of the first thing to start with is make sure you're taking care of your health overall. You want to make sure you're seeing your primary care doctor. You want to work with them to create an exercise routine, because exercise is really critical to reducing falls and reducing your risk of a severe injury from a fall. They can help you, you know, learn exercises to help strengthen your muscles, maybe improve your balance. You know, things like water workouts, walking, Tai Chi are great options. But even something simple you can do in your home, like standing on one leg or walking heel to toe, can help improve that balance, which is so critical. And then, you know, in general, just stay up to date on all your medical care. It's really important to manage all your health conditions, including things like vision, because glaucoma in particular, or cataracts, can cause vision problems that can lead to falls. And then, of course, type 2 diabetes, which can cause neuropathy and low blood sugar. That's another one that's a high risk.
You know, as you talk about doing those things, Doc, standing on one leg, et cetera, I think people need to realize you're not doing it to get in shape, and you can't look at it as, well, what kind of shape am I going to get in standing on one leg? The idea is to keep your legs, to keep your balance, to make sure that you can still walk without falling, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to bulk up or anything from that, but actually kind of training your body to know how to adjust and make sure you stay balanced is really a critical skill you can lose as you get older.
And for people that don't think there are benefits from that, there certainly are benefits to that. What else can you do?
Yeah, so another thing is if you feel like you need, or your doctor says you need, a cane or a walker, use it. Don't feel bad about it. It's really critical, because that may be the piece of equipment that keeps you from falling down. And then a lot of people, as we get older, we tend to feel colder, so people may wear socks, especially as the weather gets cooler. Be very careful with socks on hardwood floors. They do make some with little grippers on the bottom that can help you, you know, lower your risk of falling. And then avoid really baggy clothing, baggy shirts and pants, because they can actually get tangled up, or they can get caught on something and result in a fall. And then another really big one is, if you have pets, you know, be very careful about how they may affect your fall risk. Cats and dogs can get up under your feet. They can bump into you. So you've got to make sure that they don't jump on you, that they're not walking in front of you, and certainly that they don't pull on the leash, which can be difficult. That can actually pull you down.
I had a dog one time, I swear, was trying to cut block me at the knees, or try to walk on my slippers as I was walking on them. So you do have to be careful about that. We'll talk about fall-proofing your home when we come back. We're talking with Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer at People's Health, about fall prevention and how important it can be to make sure that you take care of your overall health. 820 Traffic Now, WWL. All right, 8:26 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our guest, Dr. Brent Wallace, Dr. B, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. We're talking about fall prevention. It's Falls Prevention Awareness Month, now that we are into fall. Can you fall-proof your home, Doc?
Yeah, you definitely can make some adjustments, and you really should think about doing this, because more than half of all the falls actually happen in the home. Mm. So, I mean, there's some easy things you can do. Try to keep your floors clutter-free, because you're more likely to trip over something if it's laying in the middle of the floor. And, you know, make sure you don't have any loose cables running all over the place. You might trip on that. And then rugs are really important. You need to make sure, if they're on a hardwood floor, that they've got skid-proof backing so that they don't slip and then you fall down. And then watch the edges of them. They tend to curl up, and that can create a hazard as well. And then the other thing a lot of people don't think about, but lighting is really critical. You need to make sure that your home is really well lit, because you don't want to run into something you didn't intend to. So change those light bulbs, especially around stairways, because that's a really dangerous spot in your house.
And turn them on as it starts to get darker earlier. What else can we do to stay safer on stairs, Doc?
Yeah, so stairs are one of the most dangerous places, and you know, because you're going up and down, you must have handrails.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
And you need to make sure they're sturdy, because if you do become unstable, you want to be able to grab onto something. And if you've got wooden stairs, you probably want to think about adding a runner or little carpet squares, because that'll help a little bit with the slipperiness. And don't carry things up and down the stairs if you can avoid it, especially heavier, large items, because they're going to block your vision and you're more likely to fall that way.
How can we make kitchens safer?
Yeah, kitchens, a couple of things you can do is make sure the common stuff you use, dishware and ingredients and stuff, are well within reach. You don't want to have to go up high in a cabinet. You don't want to get on a step stool. You want to use a grabber tool, or just keep it somewhere where it's easier to reach. And then be really careful in the kitchen, because we use a lot of soap and cooking oils and water. And if that gets on the floors, it can make them slippery. You want to make sure you clean those up right away, because that's an area where you could slip and fall.
Speaking of soap and slippery, got to talk about the bathroom.
Yeah, the bathroom is the most common place for falls. And obviously it's because it does have those wet, slippery surfaces. And so you want to do things like add a non-slip mat into your shower area or your tub area. That's going to help a little bit. You may want to actually install grab bars in the shower so you can get in and out easily. Or if you've got a lot of lower extremity weakness, you can also get a shower chair, and that's something so you're not standing up in the bathroom. But be very careful, especially at night, if people get up and go to the bathroom. It's going to be dark. You might actually have an accident.
If you do fall, what should you do?
Yeah, really, falls are definitely going to happen. So the most important thing is make sure you get whatever medical care you need after you have a fall. And it's really important, after that urgent care is obtained, you want to make sure you talk to your primary care provider, because they can help you try to figure out either why you fell or what you can do to prevent that fall. But they'll also check you for injuries you don't realize you might have. So it's really critical to have that follow-up appointment as well.
Any final advice, Doc?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is a lot of people fall and then they stop doing what they like to do. And that's actually the worst thing you could do. You want to try to stay active. If you become inactive, you're more likely to exacerbate the problem with that muscle weakness. Don't be scared. It's okay to be a little bit worried, but try to stay active, maintain your strength and agility and everything, and that's going to keep you on your feet.
Again, you're not training for the Olympics. You're just trying to maintain your strength, agility, and balance. Valuable information. Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks, Tommy. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. You can find out more about People's Health if you visit the People's Health Medicare Center. That's in Metairie, 3017 Vets. It's located between North Causeway and Trader Joe's. Appointments are recommended, but walk-ins are welcome. You can also go to the website, peopleshealth.com, or call 1-800-978-9765. And I think that open enrollment period is approaching. So peopleshealth.com, everything you need to know right now. Time for WWL First News. 8:45, quarter till 9. The password is Thalweg. Thalweg, T-H-A-L-W-E-G. Clint Wilson joins us now, professor of civil and environmental engineering at LSU and director of the LSU Center for River Studies, to tell us what that is. How you doing, professor?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me.
How about that? The password, Thalweg. How about,
yes,
now, I bet
exactly.
A lot of people, I learned a new word. I didn't know what that was.
Well, every day we got to learn something.
Keep we young, do. Right? Exactly, yeah. Right. And that's what everybody should learn today. Use this word. Well, I don't know if you can use it 10 times to make it your own, but tell us what a Thalweg is.
The Thalweg is the deepest part of the river channel. So, you know, it's the kind of connecting the points at each cross section or kind of river mile. Think about where the deepest part is, and then you just connect that as you go up river, down river. So it really gives you an idea of where the deepest part of the river is. And it doesn't stay in the middle of the river, right? It'll move inside, it'll move outside, you know, depending on the currents, the bends in the river, the flow rates, et cetera.
So when we talk about this saltwater wedge, what is it, and at what point does it overtake the thalweg, or does it overtake the flow of the Mississippi River? Is it about a cubic feet per second? Is it about the depth of the water? Take me through all of this, Professor.
Yeah, well, it's actually a combination of all of those, and I don't want, you know, I'll try to explain it here, is, you know, the Gulf of Mexico, the saltwater, Gulf of America, the saltwater denser than the water coming down the Mississippi River. And so that saltwater wants to, you know, dive underneath or to the bottom of the Mississippi River, wants to do that. Number two, the bottom, the deepest parts of the Mississippi River don't go above sea level until you get to Natchez. And so what's happening is you've got this kind of competing forces of the water flow, the water coming down the Mississippi River, and then the salt water trying to move up the at the bottom of the Mississippi River. So they're basically kind of competing or meeting, okay? And when the river's normally in its normal flows, average or medium or high flow rates, the flow, the power of the river is more than enough to keep that salt water in the Gulf. However, when the river gets low, the salt water can move up the bottom, the deepest parts of the river, and it just starts moving its way up the river and potentially then, you know, having the impacts that I'm sure we're going to talk about here in a minute.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm confused about is, tell me again about the sea level in Natchez.
Yeah, so the bottom, the deepest part of the river, the thalweg of the river, it doesn't get above sea level, doesn't get above, you know, whatever you want, 1.3 feet, depending on what datum you're using. It doesn't get above the level of the Gulf of Mexico until you get to Natchez. So if you were here, if you're in New Orleans or Baton Rouge, and you went out into the river and went down to the bottom, you know, you would be below the level of the Gulf of Mexico. So you can think about all that water in the Gulf of Mexico pushing against the river.
But that seems counterintuitive to me. You would think the farther north you were, the higher the elevation, but that's not the case.
Well, the ground elevation is the elevation of the levees, the elevation of the community,
but not the thalweg.
But the thalweg is deeper.
I got you.
Yes.
All right. So after that, the river, the bottom becomes higher, right?
Right.
The river bottom, and then I would think that means that the flow could be less after that if the bottom is higher, because then there would be less room for the salt water to go underneath. Stop me before I hurt myself, Professor.
No, that's fine. No, so, you know, the salt water wedge, you know, doesn't move past, I mean, I don't know if it's ever moved past New Orleans, okay? So the power of the river, the velocities, the, you know, the movement of that water, of the fresh water coming down, keeps the salt wedge away. So it's, the river would basically have to stop flowing for the salt water wedge to get up to Baton Rouge or Natchez, okay? So really what's happening is in that lowermost part of the river, when you're getting down, you know, below St. Bernard and Plaquemines, that's really where you have the saltwater wedge, or the saltwater and the freshwater really are interacting a lot more.
Does this happen anywhere else in the world or anywhere else in the country?
Oh, yeah, it happens, yes. I mean, you could just about any coastal river, you know,
any river
that's emptying into a coast, that drains into an ocean or a sea, is going to have this issue. Yep.
Okay, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because it seems like this is the new normal, and it seems like we're dealing with it a lot more now. I didn't even know what it was, saltwater wedge, and not to mention a thalweg, but now I know what it is. 850 more. If you got any questions about saltwater wedge, text them in to 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along without hurting myself or you in the process, as we talk to Professor Clint Wilson, a professor of civil and environmental engineering at LSU, director of the LSU Center for River Studies. 851, 9 till 9. Traffic now, WWL. 8:56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Clint Wilson, professor of civil and environmental engineering at LSU, director of the LSU Center for River Studies, about the saltwater wedge and some of the texts that are coming in. Professor, I invite the audience in, so I'll ask some of the questions. What effect the larger draft shifts will have when Port of New Orleans opens? Any effect on any of that at all?
Well, on the salt, if you're asking about the effects on the saltwater wedge, you know, I don't think we know that at this point, but, you know, the Corps of Engineers is now authorized, and they get the funding to maintain a deeper draft, a deeper depth in the navigation channel in the lower river. So, you know, the river is deeper in some locations than it was 10 years ago. So, you know, there is that opportunity for more, I guess, potentially for more saltwater to move up the river.
So deeper
again,
means...
Yeah, we don't have enough data really at this point to know for sure.
But generally speaking, deeper is saltwater's friend?
That's right, okay. Because the saltwater wants to go into the deeper part of the river, right?
And somebody said if you empty the Mississippi River, the saltwater from the Gulf would partially fill the river up to Natchez, from my understanding. Are they right there?
That's right. That's exactly right, because the bottom of the, you know, the Thalwag, the deepest parts of the river would, you know, don't go above the Gulf of America until you get to Natchez. So if the river was shut off somehow, right, then that Gulf, the Gulf waters would move upriver.
So how likely is this to happen every year from now on, or is this a new event, or is it just a cyclical thing?
Well, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, I would have said it happens about every 10 years,
mm-hmm.
Okay, but... In the last, since 2022, it's happened every year. And, you know, we also go through cycles of Bonnecarry spillway openings on the other end of the hydrologic spectrum, right? When, you know, we open the Bonnecarry spillway when there's significant floodwaters mm-hmm. coming down. And, you know, for a period of time in the 2010s and early 2020s, we were opening the Bonnecarry spillway regularly, and one year it was twice. So... But we haven't seen the Bonnecarry open in a couple of years. But now we're seeing the low flow, the other end of the extreme, right, is the low flows coming up at this period of time. So, you know, really thinking about what it's going to be in the next 5 years or 10 years is hard. But I do think as a nation and as a state, we need to be planning and thinking about what the impacts are from these extreme, you know, these extremes, low flows or high flows.
You would never have a spillway opening and a saltwater wedge in the same year, right?
No, not at, well. Oh, yeah, you could. That's right, because they occur at different times of the year.
That's true.
Right, the spillways open in the late winter, springtime, maybe early summer. But the saltwater wedge is typically in the low flows, which is late winter, late summers, early falls.
And it all depends on the rainfall upriver, correct?
100%. All of this is driven by what's happening in the Ohio Basin, the Upper Mississippi Basin, the Missouri Basin. All of those watersheds are contributing, and it's really the Ohio River right now, the Ohio River Basin. That the area there that's really in drought conditions right now. And so
thank you, Professor. Appreciate it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.